Morning, church family, all our guests. Pastor Sean, glad you're with us, and I hope your affections are properly stirred. Right, Andrew?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, glad that you are with us, and thanks for sharing this time together. As you'll see on this screen, we had a first school week. Can we just give a big round of applause to all of our teachers? We love you guys. Yeah. Thanks for doing what you're doing. You're amazing. It's half a miracle you're here today, right? I mean, you've had a long first week. Now these are part of Cornerstone Kids. We invited everybody to send their pictures first day of school. Here's a few of our kids from the church family. Here's a few others. Thankfully, we did not receive any pictures that look like this on the first day of school. Nor like this. This one, I don't know, you know, sometimes. But I'm pretty sure a number of our parents, they like this, okay? They were pretty excited that their kids were going back to school. Yeah, it was a good day when they saw those kids get on the bus and give them a little space, okay? I'm assuming that's just orange juice. That's all that's in that cup there. But they're pretty excited. And, you know, you might not be a parent, but you remember those days of coming back to school and how that felt. And you also remember, or hopefully you remember, what did everybody cover the first week of school? Then the first month, it was all going over the basics again, right? Because suddenly, kids forgot how to spell, okay? I mean, they're in 11th grade, no clue how to write a sentence anymore, all right? Because the summer just sucked it all out of their brain in some amazing way. And so what teachers do is they spend the first month basically reviewing what's already been taught, all right? Because if the students don't know the basics, there's no way they're moving on in what they need to move on. They're not going to learn what they need to next if they haven't got the basics down. And I think that whole attitude is really about what this sermon series we're about to enter into is. There's this basic lesson that you and I have heard, or I don't know, maybe you haven't heard in church, but in the end, the basic lesson that really starts from the very beginning of the Bible is that God designed life to be, say it out loud with me, better together. Now, that's not just a Hallmark card, and that's not just like a Disney musical. That's the truth. That from the very beginning of the Bible, really one of the first lessons of life is that you are made to operate together under God. So let me show it to you real quick, all right? Genesis 1:26. We're in the first chapter of the Bible, and it's talking about God creating the world. And when it gets to God creating man, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule." Now, you should look at that and say, let us make man our own image? I mean, why is God talking in the plural and God's talking? Well, if you're familiar with the Bible at all, you know that the Trinity, the understanding that it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, that's a hard concept to kind of get your head around. The idea is God's way more than who we are. And in a very real way, God is relationship. He is relationship, and he made you in his likeness. So guess what? You don't work unless you're working with others, okay? So that's just a basic. It's Genesis chapter 1, that you are made like God, and God in himself is relationship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Kind of sounds like a family, right? And in the same idea, when God made you, he said, I'm going to make you like me. I'm going to make you to need relationship just the way I am relationship. So that truth comes out in Genesis chapter 2. We're only in the second chapter of the Bible, but here it comes again. This is before sin comes into the world. So you know the whole Adam and Eve thing, even the apple thing? This is before that happens. So when this happens right here, when God says this, there's no sin in the world. There's nothing wrong in the world. There's a perfect relationship between God and Adam. But notice what God says. God says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. There's no sin in the world. God has a perfect relationship with man, and yet God looks at man by himself before the creation of Eve and says, that's not good. No sin in the world, but that's not good. Now, the Hebrew word there, T-O-W-B, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. It actually means, the word good there actually means complete and prospering. So God looks at man by himself, says, well, I've done all these good things, but this is not complete. I didn't make a person, any person, to be by themselves. And so God brings Eve, and isn't it interesting that God's answer to aloneness is family? Now, not always just the issue of family like your biological family, but God always brings someone who has a spirit and a heart and an attitude like family for you. And that's actually a big message of the Christian faith, that there's a family for you. Most people, if you just hear church according to politics or kind of in social, it's like, you know, who's doing right and who's doing wrong and evil and all. It's like, well, the message of the gospel we talked about last week, that no matter how you're struggling in life and no matter what you're defeated by in life, Jesus has come to give his life not just to make sure you're a good person who goes to heaven. No, actually, he's got good news for you that he wants to bring you as part of his family. And the Bible actually says, let me skip to this next one here. The very first chapter of the story of Jesus in the Bible says this, that Jesus gave them the right. He's going to come and do something on the cross, gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become part of God's family by anything they could do. Rather, through Jesus, God himself became their father. And so here's this picture back, I'll go back one here, that from the very beginning, God himself said, you know what? You and I were incomplete and we can't really prosper. We can't complete all God wants for us if we're not together. So in a very real way, we're better together because God made us that way. God made us to be in relationship with others so that something bigger could happen in our lives. So if you've ever been to church, you hear someone say, oh, this is sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so, and you're like, are they all related in that church? Like, that's a little creepy. No, it's the idea that we all have one Father in heaven, and so we're this family. And so when we say brother and sister, it's this idea that I want to think about you like a person who I care about, like a family member. Because God's all about making family. Of course, most of us, family's been probably a hard thing in our lives or a challenge in some ways because this world really doesn't do anything to help families grow the way they should. We've also talked about as a church that we're a family. And we don't want to be a barrier to people who don't know God's love. We don't want to sit there and judge them. What we want to do is say, come on in and be part of the family. If you don't know Jesus yet, but you're here, you're just future family. We just haven't put it all together yet, but I want to start thinking about you as a person that I'm together with in this journey for God. So that's the heart of this idea of being better together, and it started from the beginning. Now, like I mentioned, though, family can be something pretty hard for us. It may be a really hard place, and we live in this world that says, I mean, isn't most movies and kind of pop culture, isn't it all about you're strong, you don't need them? And the whole idea of strength is I don't need anybody. Of course, it's ironic. By the end of the movie, that person who doesn't need anybody falls in love with somebody new who then they need, you know, because it's like, well, I guess I really do need somebody at some point. And so we kind of grow up in this idea that if I'm tough and I'm strong and no one's going to hurt me, I don't need anybody. And yet the Bible says that's not strength. That's actually shielding your weakness. That's putting up a wall where you're afraid to get hurt. Is what you're doing. So that's not strength. That's actually a weak reaction. That real strength is allowing people into my life because God's plan needs God's plan. God's plan was family and God's all the blessings. It doesn't work without family. But we just kind of live in this world that gives us substitutes. So some of us in the world, we say we're together. And the only reason we're together is because we all look like each other. And we call that togetherness. Well, that's not together. That's uniformity. That has nothing to do with whether you're together or not. Some of us, we're in the room, right? Do we know anybody yet? No. So technically, we're kind of physically together with people, but we're not actually together in our hearts with people. And some people live like that in their homes. It's like we live together, but we're not really together in spirit and in an attitude that says, you're someone I care about. Sometimes people consider togetherness just being online, and it's like Instagram followers and people who like my Facebook page. It's like, yeah, that's not really together. I mean, that can be an extra little encouragement. That's not together. Because when someone's together, I want you to hear this. When someone's together with you, it's not a problem for them, for you to have ugly spots in your life. It's like, I'm still with you. Yeah, I know that's not neat and clean. That hasn't worked out yet. That's okay. I'm together with you. Like, I'm with you. Because isn't that what Jesus did for us? I mean, in our sin, in our mess, we didn't even believe in him. We don't even know if we care about him. And he's like, no, I'm with you though. And God wants to put that back in our hearts. There's a quote, I put it at the back of your sermon notes there. It's the bottom quote. It says, you know, Christians, talking to Christians, Christians are finally realizing that you have to go back to the basics in order to reestablish the type of families, and I put churches, that give us the environment that truly grow people. If you want to have solid families and healthy churches, we have to work hard to create them. So it means we don't just show up. That's not a family. There's got to be a little bit more attention. We got to invest in this thing called family. It says, unfortunately, today the American home and church has become a domestic cloverleaf exit entrance ramp, right there. All right. On a highway upon which family members pass each other while en route to multiple other places and activities. We've forgotten what family is supposed to be about. We've really forgotten what togetherness is. I mean, sometimes in our families, if someone takes our cell phone away, I mean, okay, now I know that hopefully we won't get the hurricane that's coming. But, you know, I mean, I know by tomorrow there's going to be no bread, eggs, or milk in any store for 30 miles. Like, I know that's going to happen. All the generators are gone. You know, no one buys one except right now. But the real crisis for a lot of us in this room is we're going to be with people and not get to look at our phones or watch TV if the power goes out. What am I going to do? So you still just hold your phone, like you're holding it. It's not even working. You're like, I don't know. I just can't let go of it right now. It's kind of what I need. It's just like, what's that moment going to be like if you have to talk to people near you? And our family's together. We hung out and looked at our phones while we were all eating a meal. It's like, yeah, I don't think that's the together we're looking for. So we want to, like, we've forgotten what togetherness really is, because it's not some like worldly idea. It's actually a spirit. It's actually God's spirit in us, linking us to each other. We got to find that again, because all of us need it. Now, some of us, family is just this thing where it's just about what I need from it, and then I'm going my separate way. Others of us, we use family as, oh, I just want family to be like this. I never want it to move. And we've got an idea of family, and we connect to it kind of like this picture right here. Really look at that for a moment. You're going to discover there's something very wrong with that picture, right? I like, why don't I have a picture of what happened when they tried to drive? Because that's the picture I want to see. But some of us, our family is like that wheel, all right? We think family never turns or changes or goes anyplace in life. We want it to be like, there's this season of family we really loved, and we want it always to stay that way. It's like, well, that's actually not what family's for. Family is something that's going to move and make progress. It's going to change. You got to connect to it the right way, because family has a purpose, okay? It has a purpose. It's not I just born there. It's not that I just go to that church. It's not that I work with those people. It's not that they're just my friends. Like, there's actually a purpose to be together. God wants to make something better in our lives when we're together, and he wants us to connect to it the right way, not the wrong way. And so, as we've been talking about the idea, we want church to be a bridge and not a barrier who have never known Christianity. So we want things in a really straightforward, easy way. Here's the easiest way to say the four purposes of any family, all right? So whether you've got a parent, whether you've got a sibling, whether you are a parent, aunt, uncle, whether they're close or far, these are the four purposes of a family. And here's what I want to encourage you about. I think some of you, the reason God has you here today, because you're in a place where there's this challenge in your family and you don't know what to do with it. And I think the reason you're here today is because God wants to remind you of what the purpose is. And if you'll go back to the purpose, what seems like you can't figure it out, you'll start figuring it out. Like, I think that's why you're here today, some of you. So We're going to talk about this. This week, we're going to do to know Jesus. Did you know that the greatest purpose of every family is one thing? You should help the people around you know Jesus, the God who created them. That's the one great purpose of any family. Next week, we'll talk about find freedom. Like, part of us, we're supposed to, sometimes we get really upset at family, like having issues. It's like, the reason you see their issues is you're supposed to be a part of helping them find freedom from that. We're going to talk about that next week. Then the week after that, discover purpose. Families are not just, I always talk about the idea of like, don't be a reactive parent. Like, don't be like, hey, if anything's wrong, let me know. Other than that, I'm going to go focus over here. No, parent should be thinking, and a spouse should be thinking, what does my family need next? And so I want to help them discover their purpose. And then when a family really puts it all together, they help those people make a difference. That's the purpose of family. And so we're going to start today with the greatest purpose of all. And that is we have to help each other know Jesus. I don't think I've ever heard that from a pulpit ever, that the number one purpose of a family is to help each other know Jesus. All right? That is it. Because God is life, and everything that works starts with Him. So some of us are trying to improve our families the way someone's trying to work on a car but refuses to put any gasoline in it. It's like you can keep doing all that other stuff, but until you actually put some gasoline in the car, it ain't going anywhere. All right? So you should start there. It's like, but I, Pastor Sean, I mean, I sent it to the shop. I spent all this money over here. I did all these things. It's my family still won't change. Like, are you putting gas in the tank? Are you doing the one thing family is designed for? Because God's the creator of family, and it only works with Him at the center. And so when you get stuck in family, you should backtrack to this first point and think about this some. What do I need to do to help my family members know Jesus? Because all of us like to see family get better, but a lot of times we're not doing it the right way. We've forgotten what the purpose of family is. And so I just want to spend just a few minutes talking about three reasons why you really want to do this, all right? Whether you are today feeling like I need to accept Jesus in my heart, or you have known Him for a while, and no matter whether you're a senior, or you're a sibling, or a spouse, or some other word that starts with S, okay? Here we go. First of all, the reason why you want to make your number one priority in a family, helping everybody know Jesus, is because you only give out what's in you, right? Now, this is quite contrary to most of our methods of being in family. Because when someone gives me an attitude, you know what I do? I give them one back, right? Because they deserved it. Yeah, and how did that help at all? Did anybody get a little better? No. All right, see, we tend to, if we're just kind of filled with the things of the world and we're kind of focused on us, we tend to just give that out. If we've got Jesus in us, we can give Jesus to others. So really, every great family, every great step of a family starts with me personally. Instead of looking at everybody else, I need to look at how much Jesus is coming into my life, okay? Because if I start there, this family's got a chance to have Jesus at the center. This family has a chance to know Him. So a lot of us like to fight fire with fire. They act like that, I'll act like this. Last time I checked, fire plus more fire equals bigger fire, okay? I don't think that really actually solves anything to fight fire with fire. But what does Jesus teach? He teaches us to respond in the opposite spirit. So a gentle answer turns away wrath. I bless those who curse me. I offer light for people who are acting in darkness. I love those who hate me. And yet, we tend to have this sense of like, I can't believe my own family would da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's like, whoa, whoa, hold up. You've got to respond in the opposite spirit. You got to start with how Jesus would be. Because Jesus modeled something very different. Yeah, but it's always like that. I'm always the one who has to. Okay, you do know who you're listening to and acting to like right now, and it ain't Jesus, okay? Satan's all about himself and what everybody done wrong. And so I was like, you got to stop that. Like, Jesus saved you from selfishness. Jesus is going to be good. You've got to be. Now, it's going to be a long journey, right? But if you'll just say the first person, instead of focusing on for them. I'm going to turn myself, say, Jesus, how about how much in me? So you can, we're doing the Bible Project. We're in the Gospel of Mark right now. You could be reading that, and that's just your turn to get a little more Jesus every day. Like, help me act the right way. I love this verse, 1 John 4:16. If anyone believes that Jesus is the Son of God, he lives in union with God. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. If you really want to love your family, you got to have the Son of God. Because God is love. Like the only real love, I mean, you can belt out Whitney's, I will always love you as much as you want. But the truth is, you're not going to do it without him. So, now in saying that, let's be careful. No condemnation. I'm like, oh yeah, let's beat myself. Don't do that. Man, we just talked about last week, the gospel's good news. Like God's got victory where you are, starting where you are. You can make a tremendous difference in your family if you just start right where you are. God's going to be faithful. Can I get an amen to that? God's going to be faithful. All right, number two. This is going to be a shock. I would like all of you out loud to read this first sentence with me because this is good therapy for you. Ready? Here you go. Read it with me. I can't fix someone else. Don't look at anybody right now. Don't look at anybody. Just keep your eyes right here, okay? Don't look at anybody else. Yeah, we've tried this, right? How's this gone? Yeah, this does not go well, right? I think God in heaven's like, really? You're going to try to fix them. I think that's what Jesus was saying, was like, yeah, that speck and log thing about the eyes, you should look at you. You know, it's like, hey, we can't fix someone else. I can only help them. Here's the fix I can do. I can encourage them to fix their eyes on Jesus. That's what I should do. So we're family, whether it's in church, whether it's in a tight friendship, or whether it's in our homes, and we tend to see problems, and we make the mistake of going to the fix route first, all right? Now, here's the problem with that. Nothing works without love. And so sometimes someone's been on ongoing issue in their life, and we keep trying to fix them, and we've stopped showing them that we love them. We just try to fix them. And a matter of fact, I remember one time as a youth pastor, I was talking to some kid who just kept getting in trouble, And, you know, and I was like, hey, your parents love you. And he said, yeah, but they sure don't like me. I was like, that was pretty sharp. He's like, they don't. He was saying, I don't think they really love me. I think they're just putting up with me. And we've got to be careful that if we really want to help our family, the number one goal is they've got to, if they'll experience the love of Jesus both in us and through us, Jesus will fix a whole lot in their life. Because last I checked, there is one Savior in the world, and guess who it's not? It's not you, and it ain't me, all right? So what we got to do, so we tend to do that, but we're family, right? So we really care that it's going wrong. So we tend to press in with fix, 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 which honestly to our family members sound like failure, failure, failure. Like that's all you're saying. Yeah, you failed again, you failed again. You go, like that's all they're hearing anymore. And what we need to do is back that up a little bit, say, let's start with, hey, you know what? I love you. Like you're important. Like there's so many good things in your life right now. I see who you are underneath all those mistakes. Like we've got to be about that because this does not work. And so what we've got to do is we've really got to be about starting with, let me help them know the encouragement and the love of Jesus. So the answer is not finding the biggest Bible and hitting them over the head with it repeatedly and yelling Jesus as you do it. That's not going to work, okay? Let's not go with that strategy. Instead, sometimes it's just like a text in the middle of the day when you read. I mean, what I do literally for my family is when I read my Bible Project every day, Psalms, and I was like, I'll find a verse that I think is for a family member, and I'll shoot it to him. Say, hey, love you today. Praying this verse for you. Really proud of you. That's Jesus. Because Jesus brings encouragement. Jesus said the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So when Jesus comes into a conversation, people should feel hope. Right, they should feel like someone's with me and in the middle and doesn't mind that I'm messy. All right, and so that's it. So one of literally the goals of my parenting, and although I've not ever really successfully done it, and for my daughter Rachel, I've handed it over to another man in her life. But literally my goal as my kids were growing up, I'm going to be the one who texts them the most. There are days I couldn't even sleep to try to keep up with that goal. I'm thinking about you. Sometimes it's a family member far away who you know is struggling financially and there's a few things you don't agree with, but you send them a gift card anyway and say, hey, I know times are tough and I'm thinking about you. I just wanted you to have this. Man, praying for you. I know Jesus will see you through. Like, that's what you do. You don't talk about what you don't agree with. They're going through a tough time. Take care of their tough time. It's just those kind of moments. That's what our families need. And I love that Romans 6:6 is this. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. And notice this, so that sin, and last week we talked about being selfish, so that sin might lose its power. So if I want sin to lose power over a person, I need to help them experience the good news of Jesus more, not try to fix them all the time. Because the only way sin's going to lose their power is not through self-help or like five great steps. Jesus is the only one that makes sin lose power. So that's what I do. So sometimes when people struggling with a lifestyle or something that's wrong, it's like, and all you do is talk about their lifestyle that's wrong. It's like, I think if they met Jesus, this might be go totally different. Because you're telling them what not to do, but you're not giving them any power, love, and encouragement to do what they should do. So we want to be that kind of people. Simple thought. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. In Christ, the old is gone. Not me. I don't make the old go away. Jesus makes the old go away, and the new has come. So I want to encourage you, if you're here today, and like, I don't know, I mean, again, if you know my story, church was not always a great experience when I was growing up, but what I found is when church focused on being a family centered in Jesus, the church actually became a place where I could bring all my old stuff, and instead of feeling like I couldn't come until I got it fixed, I actually came with it, and Jesus actually made it new. Like, that was really incredible, and that's what church should be for you here, and that's what, as a church family, we should always value. Let's not judge people by the old stuff. Let's make sure they know Jesus. Thank you for my one amen in front. You're awesome, Nicole. Love you. All right, number three. All right, here's another reason why you want to make Jesus. You want to make sure the people in your family, they know Jesus. You want to do whatever you can to help make this happen. Only through Jesus will I ever have the chance to love someone else, very important, in an unfailing way. Okay? Now, this one's really deep on my heart for a few different reasons. I'll try to say it short and sweet. But in the end, Jesus said, here's the one thing I'm commanding you to do. The one thing. Love one another, but that's not the end. As I have loved you, you must love one another. If you try to love someone any other way but Jesus' way, it's not going to last. I'm just telling you right now, it's not going to happen. And I'm not trying to be negative or try to stick it to you. I'm just saying. I mean, life will show it. It's only when we love people as Jesus has loved us. So that's why we love reading the Bible. We love being in the gospel and reading through Mark, because it shows me all the ways that Jesus is loving people. It's like, God, are you saying if I know you and I open myself up to your spirit in me, that I could do the same thing for people? And the answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is what Jesus said. So this isn't church or Christianity saying this. Jesus himself's on the earth, there's only one way to heaven, and it's through me. So contrary to what you're hearing out there, and I'm glad people are trying to find heaven, and I know their cultures and everything, so there's no negative attitudes. Those are future family that one day they're going to find Jesus just like I found him. But here's the deal. Jesus is the only way. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about some of the family members. I've actually been doing this week. As we've been thinking about some of our church family that's lost loved ones. But I want you to hear one thing, and I'm hoping you're going to remember your entire life. Sometimes in this world, we do not get family right. I'm just letting you know. Because every person has to make their own decision. And sometimes people and what's the pain in their life or the weaknesses in their life, it's just not happening. And you feel like you spend your whole life loving them well. And you would say, well, I know I got to do things different. But you like, I've really tried. Well, I want to encourage you. If you don't get anything else done in life, in your family, but this first priority, you're going to get a chance to do it right in heaven. Because as long as everybody knows Jesus, nothing else may have worked in family, but if everybody knows Jesus, one day you're going to get to heaven and you're going to get to do it all right there. Someone should say amen. I'm waiting for someone to say amen. That's a really important thought right there. That, you know what? This may not get all neat and clean down here. Now, God's going to do more than you can ask for or even imagine, but I'm telling you what, there is one goal. If you got to get one thing done, you got to make sure your family members know Jesus. Because it can be as dysfunctional can be, and when you get to heaven, you get to do it all right. And that's going to be really cool. You're going to get to do the thing you always hoped you'd say. You're going to get to live one day. There's going to be a now. There's going to be a now, one day in eternity. And you're going to be looking around like, this is what I always hoped for. This is what I always believed it could be. So let me tell you what. If you're going to get one thing done in your family, man, bank it all on, can I help you find the encouragement and the hope of Jesus in your life? If I can do that. And guess what? In there, God designs life to become better together. So most of us have this kind of like, okay, yeah, I get it. But most of us only get together with people who are very much like us. So I want to encourage you that over this next season, you want to find someone who's in the image of God, but not in the image of you. You want to find someone who's just different. Because they're knowing God, and God's made them in a way that will actually help your life out. And I'm praying that next week we'll start talking about small groups, and you'll find all the different places where you can find some better togethers for your life. But today, I don't think we need to do anything, just pray about it. Just think about it some, because, all right, I'm going to give you one more deep thought. I almost forgot I put this down. One more deep thought. So most of us think about relationships, but we've kind of been broken by them, and so we're not sure we want to do it again. Deep thought. Here we go. Get ready. You can't ride a bike until you learn to ride a bike. Are you sensing the depth? What am I saying? You can stand there and look at the bike and read the instructions a few times. YouTube video the bike. Hear somebody else ride the bike. But when is this really going to work for you? When you get on the bike. You got to get on the bike and figure it out. The reason I say it is this, and this is what I would encourage you to pray about. Some of us are like, I ain't getting to know people again. I ain't going, I'll show up at church every once in a while. I'm not going to get any deeper than that. Because I fell a bunch of times. You know, that hurt. And so we've got a little bit of like, but inside we're like, oh yeah, sure, one day I'll do that again. But there's really nothing we're doing to actually get there. And it's like we want to ride a bike, but we don't want to get on it to learn how to ride the bike. Like, you just got to get in the group. You got to call up a friend. You got to, man, I mean, I've got family members who it's like, I don't know what we're going to talk about when I text or call them or like, but I can't give up trying to ride the bike. Like, that's what you just got to do. And so I want to encourage you, there are two places, and you'll actually notice on your connection card today that there's two different prayer requests. And we've decided for the month of September, we would do our elders and prayer time at the end of service because we want to worship just a little bit more together. And we want to spend time responding together. So today, there are two prayer requests that I would like you to actually do. And if you don't want anybody else to see them but just the pastors, just simply over Better Together, just write private on it. And it won't go in any prayer sheet. It'll just be between you and the Lord. As long as it's okay with you, pastors will see it too to pray for it. But here it is. The first prayer request that I would like you to write something down, like make it a tangible decision today, is Jesus, here's the one area of my life that I need you to send someone to help me get better. Do you know you could pray that prayer? Like, sometimes you're like, I can't beat this. I can't beat this. I'll never change. Sometimes you know what you should do? You should just pray, Lord, would you send somebody to help me get better? The Bible actually says that God so loved the world that he did what? He sent his son to make us better. He sent somebody. And God always does that. He keeps sending people into our lives. So if you're in a place where you feel like, I can't beat this by myself, or maybe it's not that intense, but you're like, I do, I feel like my faith is kind of stale and it's not alive anymore, maybe you should pray that prayer today. And just say, God, in this area of my life, would you send someone to help me get better? And then the second one is this. Jesus, here's the one way I'm asking you to use me to help someone else get better. Because that's important too. Because your life is way more important than you realize. You're designed by God to help somebody else get better. And maybe you've always had, you know, I don't know, I'd love to help single moms, or man, I love guys who love, you know, I love motorcycles and those guys, I want them to know. And it's like, I'd love to do something with those guys to encourage them. Or maybe it's, man, I remember when I was in the financial crisis and I learned all these tools. I'd love to help somebody else know how to budget their money or get, like, I don't know what your thing is, but I am telling you what, you are meant to help somebody else get better. And your whole life is not going to be complete and prosper until you start being together. And so you don't have to do anything with it. When you put these in, we're not going to sign you up for anything. It's only a prayer request today. That's all it is. But I just felt like as we begin this season, we need to begin with just a prayer. And so every person here, and if you don't have one of these, just grab a piece of paper and write something down and literally just write it down. If you want to put your name on it, it's up to you. And then just fold it on up or put it face down if you can't fold it up. And just during the song that we're going to sing, just take a moment to come up to the altar of God and say, God, I want it to be better this year. I'm serious. You've got more and I want it. So I'm going to encourage, I know sometimes it's like, well, that's probably, I'll let the other person, I'd encourage you to do it today. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, like you're never, I mean, the ultimate together is with him. You got to live life with him. He's the one who loved you, gave his life for you. When we get to the worship moment, we're going to sing that song, Jesus, You Alone Again, because it's such a great theme of like, it's only in you, Jesus. As we do that, if you want to come up, you can put that down. But if you want to make a decision to accept Jesus in your heart today, you can go, our elders and their spouse are going to be up here. And you can just go up there and say, hey, I just asked Jesus in my heart today. Would you pray that God shows me what to do next? And they'll do that for you today. If you want to come up and have someone pray with you about a sickness in your life that you're asking for healing or a provision you need, that's all going to be up here. Like literally, we're designing the service to finish up where we can spend some time together in the Spirit. So would you take a moment right now, and whether you put just two-word answers for each of those prayer requests, but this is your first step in riding the bike. God, I don't even know how to get together and be with people the right way anymore. So just ask God to help you do it.